Well, good morning and welcome to episode 14 of the Piney Pastors Podcast.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How do you know it's morning when they're listening?
Well, you know, it could be nighttime. We talked about this before.
It's morning somewhere. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's morning somewhere.
It's morning right now.
It's morning for us.
That was so two podcasts ago.
Yeah, where was I?
Cut.
Moment of silence.
Redo.
Moments of redo.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Well, last week we talked about having a biblical perspective on rest and vacation. And so we thought this week we would talk about having a biblical perspective on work and vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Last week since...
Thanks for listening.
I wasn't here to defend myself last
week. Yeah, since last week.
I think maybe I want to talk about vacation a little bit before we go on.
Still on vacation.
How was vacation, Steve?
It was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
What was your favorite part?
Being with my wife.
Good answer. Good answer.
Very good answer. Very good answer. And so you went to Assisi and Venice.
We went to primarily Venice,
I wasn't
Florence.
Calling you Assisi.
Yeah.
You would do. Assisi.
Assisi.
Venice, Florence, and Rome.
And Sandy said you did the gondola thing, but no one sang for you.
Right.
Did you sing for Sandy?
No.
You should have.
What? You have a lovely voice.
That's right. You should sing for a podcast sometime, Steve.
Do you like Italian food?
I do.
He does not.
It was really good. And my favorite food that I had was risotto.
Risotto. Oh,
yes.
Aren't those a little bitty?
Yeah, really small. I had a cheese risotto the first night, and then later on we had one that had cooked with asparagus and something else. It was really good.
Really small what? You said, aren't those little, really small, little.
It's the pasta version
really
of rice.
Pasta.
Yeah, okay. It is. It's like rice pasta.
Okay, good. Yeah. Sorry, some of us are ignorant.
So last week, Steve was on trial for being on vacation. Now Steve's on trial for working.
For working.
Working.
He's retired, but he still works.
Full time.
Mm-hmm.
Full time. So is this sinful?
Is that what we're asking? Well, as we said, last week we talked about vacation and rest. So this week we want to talk about having a biblical perspective on work. I had a conversation with one of our covenant members a few weeks ago just about work and discussing whether or not work was a gift from God. Or whether work was just simply part of the curse as a result of the fall. And so let's talk about that.
Well, maybe a helpful place to start would be to talk about why we might feel like work is part of the fall. Because I think, we talked about it last episode, how people in our culture, and maybe in all cultures, I don't know. I only know ours. People work for the weekend, they work for rest. So work is seen as sort of a necessary evil in order to achieve rest, whether it's vacation or retirement. And people tend to speak very negatively about their jobs. People tend to be negative at their jobs. I think I think it's a pretty universal thing that whether it's talking bad about your boss or clients or customers, whatever line of work you're in, or just the work itself, the people seem to enjoy and delight. And then there's like a common bond when people
complainers.
Can complain together about work. And, you know, if you want to make small talk with almost anyone,
you don't start off with positivity.
Yeah. How's work? Sadly. Oh, work's, you know, it's killing me.
Oh,
it's,
I tell you, I hear you.
Yeah. I'm working too many hours and blah, blah, blah. So it feels like an evil, I think, for a lot of people.
Every single time I used to see this one lady, I'd ask her how she was doing, and she would every time her answer would be, overworked and underpaid. How you doing? Overworked and underpaid. Yeah, constantly.
They're pretty subjective. Apparently your employer doesn't think you're underpaid.
Yeah. Nor overworked.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let's talk about where work originated. So I think we see work, at least as far as man's work, originating in the garden in Genesis 2. Well, Genesis, 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
Well, even before that, Genesis 2:5 says, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. Mm-hmm. So it gives the almost the impression that creation was meant to be worked upon. And I would say that even before originating in the intention for creation, or in the creation of man and commandment of man to go work the ground, it probably originates in God himself, that God was working to create. And so God is a working being, and since we are made in his image, we are to be the same way. He is a creator, and we are to be creators. He produced, we are to be producers. He worked, we're to work, and so reflecting him in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and an important thing to observe is that you were just reading from Genesis 2. The fall happened in Genesis 3.
Right.
So work existed and was commanded and blessed by God before the fall.
Before cursed.
Right, before the curse of sin. So work is not a result of sin. Work is not a curse in any way. Adam and Eve lived only under the blessing of God before they sinned. And so work is actually then seen as a blessing given to man by God. As Jason said, it's a way of glorifying God, which man was created to do by reflecting God's image as a worker.
Yep, that's good.
In Genesis 3, after the fall, when after Adam and Eve sin, and God is pronouncing judgment upon the serpent, and then Eve, and then Adam, in verse 17 of Genesis 3, it says, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. It says, curse is the ground because of you. Mm-hmm. So work is still not a curse, but it would be harder for work. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, meaning it says in verse 18, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So the work is still not a curse, even though there are frustrations. And the world itself is cursed. It's not to say that plants are bad just because it's subjected to futility. It doesn't mean that the sunset is evil. So I think even sometimes when we think of things being under the curse, it means that we should mean theologically, biblically, that it's affected by the judgment for sin, not that it itself is evil or bad. So work is not an evil thing or a bad thing that we should avoid, but something that has been affected by the judgment for a sin, and therefore there's a lot of difficulty to it, not necessarily bad things to it.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that we will work in the new heaven and new earth?
Great question, Steve.
In the kingdom of Christ. Since Adam and Eve worked in the garden before the curse, and it was a blessing.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because there is the biblical picture of eternity with God in the new heaven and the new earth as rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have not yet entered into your rest. And so there's, I think, a clear emphasis there that the need for rest that we feel because of work, and I'd say because of the effects of the fall on our work, partly we feel a severe need for rest. And so the Bible gives that picture of blessing as a picture of rest. And Jesus even says, you know, come to me, all you who labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so that is the aspect of rest, is a part of how God helps us to understand what blessing in Christ in the kingdom is. So the idea of work is, I think, as part of our blessing in eternity, I think it's for me a new idea. It's a new, I don't know. I don't remember being taught that or really seeing it in scripture. Maybe I just didn't pay enough attention, or maybe I just didn't read scripture closely enough. But I do see it now, and I do think that it will be, because in many ways, you know, the Bible is, it's bringing the arc of scripture is, it was good. It was, creation was good. Our role in it was good, working. But then we fell into sinfulness and experiencing the curse of sin. And then over the course of scripture, we see God's plan to redeem that. And so at the end, it's brought back up, not only to where creation was to begin with, good, but better, because we're dwelling with God, mm-hmm. Because Christ has been revealed as our Redeemer, and man is now in relation to God in a new way through Christ. But seeing that work was good in the beginning, it seems, it's logical. Right. If God's restoring things, that he would restore work. But also there are, even in the book of Revelation, there's talk about commerce and industry, people working in the new creation. And so I do think that we'll be working. Right.
But it won't be work of futility, and it won't be a work of frustration. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a work that fulfills and is joyful.
Yeah.
Well, and mainly because it'll be a work done sinlessly for the glory of God.
For the glory
perfectly.
Of God, yeah.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. now that we are to, the best of our work now is when we are joyfully serving others and to the glory of God. And I think that that will be the case in the new heaven and new earth when Jesus returns. It will be as it should be, better than it was, and that there will be so much more joy in it for us. The joy that we're supposed to have even now will be perfected then, and we'll be doing it for the right reason, the right way.
Amen.
Yeah, I think a lot of the frustration in our work now is that feeling of futility. So I build stuff, and I enjoy building things, but... So we've been in our house now a year, and things...
You're going to remodel?
You know, things break. There are things that need updating. Things break, start breaking almost as soon as they're finished, and sometimes before they're finished. And so there's that sense of frustration and futility, knowing I can work as, you know, I can work my heart out, use all my energy and enjoy the work, but at the end of the day... Even
last.
If, yeah, it won't last. It's already degrading. It's already decomposing in a sense. And so in eternity, and then there's also, so that won't be true in eternity. There's also the frustration of just feeling like there's always a time crunch now on mm-hmm. Whether it's imposed on us by an employer or customers, or it's just our own, you know, we have a lot of demands on our time. And if we had unlimited time, which you really can't even imagine what that would be like, how that would take pressures off of us, mm-hmm. Work would be so much more enjoyable. I don't have to rush through this because I have to get through to the next thing. I can take my time. I can pay attention to the details. And there's always, at least for me, that frustration at the end of a project of, if I'd have just taken a little bit more time, I could have made that better. Or if I had time, I would go back and redo that. But whether it's, you know, I'd put another coat of finish on it, or I would redesign it or whatever, but there's just no time. So I'll just kind of be all right with it the way it is and move on.
And those of us who work better under deadlines will have to readjust our thinking.
I think that'll be part of our glorification.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it too is maybe a proper understanding, not just of what work is, but of the different variety of work. Mm-hmm. I don't think all work will exist in the new heaven and new earth. I don't think we'll have a whole lot of need for lawyers and judges, police mm-hmm. officers of stuff of,
yeah.
When everybody is sinless, that what do you do with that? But, and yet there will be other things, like there won't be hospitals and there won't no more funeral homes. So mm-hmm. there will be a lot of work that won't be done, but other kinds of work. Sometimes today people work by singing. They work by writing. They work by help putting things together for other people to help them in their work. And there's we sometimes narrowly think of work, and a lot of it has to do with money now. I mean, mm-hmm. that we work to get money, but that's not the only motivation that we should have now. It should also be to give, bless, help others. And so I think that will definitely be a difference too.
Yeah.
Amen.
We talked about this a little bit when we were preaching through Ecclesiastes, but in light of how creation has been frustrated because of the fall and how the ground has been cursed, how do we find our joy in Christ through our work in a frustrated, fallen creation?
Well, I think one, hope. You have the right expectation for your work now. We're in a marred universe, and we are sinners surrounded by sinners, and where work is in this cursed world, but one day it won't be so. And so you keep your perspective on that hope. One day it will be as it should be. So I think in part, if you just, because it's depressing and there's no real much joy or peace in the fact that there's a futility in work, and if that was only and always the case and will never get any better and there's no hope for any change, then it doesn't really lead to much happiness and joy in work now. So I think hope is one aspect.
And also I think, as it says in Colossians 3, to mm-hmm. do everything for the glory of God. So if I am teaching a beginning algebra class and I'm teaching it for the glory of God, and in one sense, at least to me, that means that I am doing it not for the affirmation of people, mm-hmm. not for my students to say, oh, you're such a wonderful teacher not on their evaluations, yeah. or my department chair to come in and say, oh, you're a wonderful teacher. But I'm doing the best that I can for those students because I'm doing it to honor God with my effort, with my good work, then there's fulfillment in that, mm-hmm. and there's joy in that.
Right.
And even not judging our work so much, again, as a teacher, by the results, but by my obedience to God in working as hard as I can to be the best teacher that I can be.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm doing it to honor God.
And understanding, for me at least, understanding that the creation has been cursed, that the ground has been cursed, that work is frustrated, is actually very freeing, mm-hmm. because it allows me to enjoy work and to be able to do it for the glory of God, even when it is frustrating, understanding that it is... That aspect of it is part of the fall. Yeah. It helps to prevent me from finding my hope or my ultimate mm-hmm. joy, my peace, my stability in my work, or helps to prevent work identifying who I am,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. Helps to keep my focus on Christ for those things.
Amen.
I think that's a huge one that so many people. I think all of us probably struggle with our work, whether we classify work as, you know, you're being a stay-at-home mom or being a math teacher or being a pilot or a pastor, that we get a sense of identity. Like, that's who we are. And if this is taken away, if I can't do this, or how, depending on how well I do this, which really is often dependent upon people's affirmation or approval of me, that really makes a difference about how my day goes, how my life goes. And so if people think I'm doing a good job, whether it's by words of affirmation, encouragement, or by financial remuneration, whatever it is, that if I'm getting, you know, reward here now, then I from other people, then I feel like satisfied in my work. But this is what Steve was referring to in Colossians 3. It talks about, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And so that he rewards you, he blesses you, he gives this to you. And yeah, so that your identity is not wrapped up in what you're doing or how well you do it or how well other people think you're doing at it. But with what God thinks, how he is approving of you, and whether or not you're honoring him in it.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.